Hello, this is Mark, and I am here with Susan. How you doing, Susan?
I'm great, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy Pesach to my Jewish friends. It's around the same period of time.
Absolutely.
And yeah, we are talking about an Easter story, not the Waltons' Easter, which is from 1997. We're not doing that one.
No.
Maybe in the future. I've never seen it.
Oh, I've seen all the movies dozens of times.
Once I finished the show, right, I felt like it was a little bit of a struggle at the end there. Especially when they swapped out John Boy.
Right, yeah, then, yeah. With the movies after the series, you just have to kind of suspend your Waltons love. Not that you can't love the movies, but you have to totally, it's like they're all the writers they brought in knew nothing about. John Curtis disappears. I mean, it's just they have all these kids that you knew nothing about. And
you bring it's just Kurt crazy. Back. Remember they bring Kurt back and it's like, I have no penis.
right. And not even the same Kurt. And it's just like, right. Wow.
It's the weirdest thing in the world. Definitely strange. The show got weird. It's almost like saying, like, taking Little House on the Prairie and bringing Mary back. And all of a sudden she's like a brunette, you know. It's like Shannon Doherty.
With a bad haircut. Yeah.
Wait, that's not exactly. Mary. That's Shannon Doherty, you know. Like, and she plays Jenny. Yeah. Like
exactly.
This, like what's going on
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Yeah. So many of these, even though, you know, overall, love the Waltons, love Little House, of course. But yeah, just some of the scripts and stuff, it's like, well, what are we going to come up with this week, guys and gal? You know, they're just kind of,
You know, when I was talking to John Walmsley, who has to be one of my favorite interviews that I've done with, it's like right up there, top three of the best interviews I've had with any, like, actor.
And he still lives in England, right?
Yeah, he still lives in England. I had so many technical issues recording that interview, and I ended up having to record it from a speakerphone into the microphone, which is, wow. And I apologize to all the listeners. But I got to say, this guy, he's so talented. He's so nice. I thought he was going to be the biggest jerk because I cannot explain why I thought that. But his wife and him, nicest people in the world. And he is so talented. Anyway, this is not the John Walmsley podcast. But I do want to promote his CD. I don't know if you had the opportunity to check this out. He sells a CD where he worked on this when Earl Hamner was still alive with Earl Hamner. And it's Earl Hamner telling stories from his childhood. And John Walmsley puts music to it.
Oh, man.
Now,
I have not heard that, but I bet it's amazing.
At 90% done, Earl Hamner died. And John was like, well, I can't release it now because people are going to think it's a money grab, you know?
Right.
So he waited and waited, and he finally released it just, you know, 6 months ago or something like that. And you can get it on John Walmsley's website. I'll look for a link to it. But you know what? I keep wanting to order it. I have not ordered it. He sent me a couple of the MP3s. I think if you listen to the end of that interview with John Walmsley, I play one of the tracks.
Is it Earl Hamner's voice?
Earl Hamner. Telling stories.
Talking about the house. The house.
When we're talking about the house in Walton's Mountain in Virginia.
The house.
Mama, mother, and father. Like, I don't know. I love
his voice, and that's one of my favorite things about the episode that we're going to talk about today. That end narration just gets me every time, and the cinematography of the filming of the sun filtering through the trees and everything. Oh, it's just beautiful.
I teared up twice in this particular episode, and it's a movie, essentially. It's an hour and 40 minutes. This podcast is not going to be an hour and 40 minutes. But An Easter Story originally aired April 19th, 1973. Which would have been, isn't it? Yeah, after Easter.
Yeah, well, Easter changes every year based on the calendar. So the date for Easter is never the same every year based on the whatever it is. Is it the Jewish calendar or the
wait? So the something. Is Easter based off of the Jews?
Well, I know that doesn't make any sense, but I can't think of the proper thing. I should know this, but
well, Pesach changes, but
the date of Easter change. Like this year, it's really early. It's at the end of March.
Yeah, I don't know what it's based on. I don't know if it's. I always thought it was like based on. Because it's always on a Sunday.
Yeah, it's always on a Sunday, but it's based on some kind of a religious calendar. I'm sure there's going to be people listening to this going, Susan, it's the blank calendar. What's wrong with you? I just can't remember the name of it right now.
Didn't you go to Sunday school, Susan?
Right. Actually, I didn't. I didn't grow up in the church. Oh. Well, only until I was 5, and then my dad got mad and decided we weren't going to church anymore.
No more God in this house.
That's right. So I didn't start my spiritual journey until 1993, so no, I didn't grow up, but
you like Easter. Easter was probably always a part of your life.
Oh yeah, you know, when I was older, after I started kind of tuning up my spiritual things, I was looking around the table and it's like, well, Dad's agnostic and Mom really doesn't have an opinion one way or another, and my other family members aren't into anything spiritual, so why are we all getting together and looking at painted eggs and chicky? Yeah. My mother always made chicky and bunny cookies, so I was like, why are we, you know? And then the grandkids came, so of course we had to do the Easter basket things with the grandkids. And but anyway, I love this episode. This is one of my Q episodes. That Q stands for quintessential Waltons. I just think, yeah, it's like it's a Q episode. It's just got everything in it. Grandma being feisty and the family Everyone. All coming together. And yeah, it's awesome.
When I was little, I was told that the Easter thing was, I was told this by an older brother, that they nail a rabbit to the cross. Because I was like, what's the, you know, like, why, what's it do with bunnies, you know? Because even as Jews, you get the bunnies, and they're usually kosher, which is kind of funny, even though I didn't grow up kosher. But yeah, I was told like you would nail a bunny to a cross until like it plops out an egg or something like that. I don't know. Yeah,
but that's hilarious. But that's what I love about this episode, because you know when you see the thing come up, the Easter story, and of course with the characters of Olivia and Grandma, you know, being super Baptist, you're thinking, oh, they're going to be ramming Jesus down my throat through this entire two-parter, but it's not about. And that's what I love about it, because it's showing the closeness of family and everybody pulling together. And to me, that's not that that's exclusively Christian. Of course it's not. There's close families that worship, you know, God, that worship Allah, Buddha, doorknobs, whatever. So family closest is not exclusive to Christianity, but that's what I love about it, because it's not a preachy episode. It's just showing in action the devotion of the family and coming together and everybody gathering on Mom's bed, and life still goes on. It's just all twirled around, you know, Mom. Well, in her bedroom.
I actually applied the resurrection story directly to this. I was like thinking about this.
Oh.
So this is from IMDb. This is the whole gist of the whole movie. Like, if you wanted to skip this episode, all you would need to know is the IMDb story. When Olivia is stricken with polio, John Boy refuses to accept the doctor's prognosis that she may never walk again. And I'll add to the end. She ends up walking again. That's it.
There you go.
And we really never talk about it again.
The end.
They never talk about it again, really. So, all right. So in this episode, we have Olivia. She's stricken with polio. She's down for the count. Like, she can't get up. She's, you know, she's dead inside, really. You see Olivia dying in this, and it's really her and the family's, perseverance to get her to help, but it's her own perseverance to resurrect her, you know, to kind of get up.
I never thought of it that way, and but I you're was absolutely thinking, right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the rebirth, and at the very end where I got all teary-eyed when we're all on the mountainside looking at the sunrise, and I'm like, this is like, this is a born-again Christian moment, you know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's killer. I'm telling you, that cinematography and, yeah, and Earl beautiful. Hamner and his lovely little voice. It's just like, you know, when he says, why me? Why my child? I'm like, oh, my God.
But let's get into the clips. I'm going to open up On the Mountain, of course.
When we were growing up on Walton's Mountain, Sundays were very special. 6 days a week, overalls and sneakers were the family uniform. But on the seventh day, we got out our Sunday go-to-meeting best, shined and scrubbed and brushed and polished. Getting ready to go to church was as much of a ritual as the services once we got there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love her hat in this. I just love that 1930. I just love it.
I don't think she has another hat, but I always like this. I don't know what kind of style you would call this.
Yeah, I don't either. But I love it.
We open it up. I mean, I'm going to be flying through this a bit, but there's a couple of moments where I think are really fun, like the chaos of the Waltons family. This episode got me a little bit nostalgic for how much I really got into the Waltons when I was watching it and how quickly it went away in those last seasons.
Right. But that's what I mean. This is such a, you know, my girlfriend Gina that I've talked about before on podcasts that just thought John was a bastard. Well, she's been trying to combat some of her mental health. She recently retired. And not that she has literal mental illness, but it's just a whole new world being retired and whatever. And she's a news addict. She's always watching the news. It's like, girl,
you got to turn that off.
Yeah, turn that mess off. Well, she decided to combat that by finally really getting into the Waltons. And she text messaged me about 2 weeks ago, and she was like, girl, I was totally wrong. John is not a bad
He's really sweet.
Yeah, and I said, oh, God, because for years I've been trying to get her to watch this particular episode, because to me it is just so – I mean, it's a perfect episode to me as far as representing the Waltons and what they're all about. And she finally did watch it. And she was like, oh, yes, girl. I said, what about the scene with John Boy on the mountain? What? No, oh, my God. She was like, oh, it was so good. Yeah, anyway.
We got to get Gina on the episode.
Exactly.
You know what? I would love it if just you and her reviewed an episode and I could just, like, be on the sidelines.
That would be hilarious.
Talk to her.
She's all on fire about the Waltons right now. It's a new discovery. It's a new discovery for her, just like it was for you.
Let's pull her in. Pull her into the mix.
Yeah, okay. I'll call her when we get off.
Let's call her right now.
It's like Mark wants you to come talk about the Easter episode or whatever. Yeah, so.
It's like, who the hell's Mark?
No, she knows who you are.
Okay. But yeah, I would love that. I think it would be great. It'd be a lot of fun.
It would be hilarious.
So here we go. We have the chaos of the kitchen, you know, which is where all the fun stuff really kind of happens, right?
Well, shouldn't we be going? Can't abide people who straggle in late.
But Grandma, that way everybody gets to see the new hat or the new coat.
Turn the Lord's worship into a style show. Livy, you look flushed.
Everybody looks cold except for, everybody looks kind of cold, you know? But then again, John Boy brought the wood in from outside, so that makes a little bit of sense.
Well, and that's great acting because, you know, underneath those lights and stuff on it, they're on a soundstage with lights pouring on them, so they're, dab the sweat, cut!
Yep.
Cut, you're sweating, sweating.
Sweet aches and pains. It's this weather. Sometimes it seems like spring will just never get here. Jason, that's not exactly what I call Sunday music. Now that's more like
it. It's funny.
I love it.
I like the other one better.
What do you call it?
We call it God's Gonna Punish You Now for changing it to that heathen music.
Yeah, I love that. It's like Grandma's just some little staunch, you know, like she always is. And Olivia's like, hey, man, turn on that other tune.
Right.
We don't have to get all cuckoo.
It's a beautiful thing of a different generation, too.
Yes, absolutely. I love that.
What does he call it?
I don't know. I haven't named it yet.
You mean you just made that up?
Uh-huh.
well, Jason, you actually have a little bit of talent, don't you? So, of course, John is not going to go to church.
No, never does.
Which was well, rarely surprise. Does.
Every once in a while.
I was so surprised when I first watched the show that there was... Oh, I just heard something upstairs and just freaked me out. All right. nice. Yeah. So, no. It's the Roomba. It's right above my head. Like, I set up a different studio and... All right, long story short, there's a Roomba over my head in the upstairs, and it sounds like it's having a little bit of a problem. Uh-oh. So, it's like... but yeah, I was really surprised that John didn't go to church, and I thought that was kind of a refreshing type of thing to have a character.
I love it. I love it, because I don't know if they wrote the characters that way or if that was true to life in Earl Hamner's family, that his father was spiritual, but he just didn't do the church thing that often. And again, I think it's a way, just like Ellen Corby decided to make Grandma spicy, because if everybody was sweet, everybody would have fallen asleep watching it. You got to have that, you know, sand in the mix. And even though John was never belligerent, he and Olivia always had like a, you know, a kind of a tongue-in-cheek, you know, well, if you'd go to church, well, yeah, you know, whatever, when you know, it snows in July, then yeah, I'll go to church. They always had a sweet kind of a banter about it. He knew she didn't approve, but she let it, you know, slide and let him be who he was.
Yeah, she knew who he was when they got married.
Exactly.
Which is, you know, that's the secret to success, I think, in a marriage. Like, you have to know who you're freaking marrying.
Absolutely. She didn't browbeat him about it. Right. She wasn't, you know, walking around Bible thumping and hitting him over the head, because that never does any good anyway. And so, yeah, I just thought it was very intelligent the way that they put that. She just kind of accepted it and, well, he ain't going. He's going to go fishing or whatever.
Right. They go to church, you know, I mean, like, it's really not that big of a, it's a pretty calm episode at first, you know. I don't know if I mentioned it, it originally aired April 19th, 1973, so that's about a little over 50 years ago now.
Right.
You know, almost 51 years ago.
First season, I believe. I believe this was, wasn't this the end of the first season, maybe? It was a two-parter?
This is the finale. I know it was a two-parter. This is season one, episode 24, so it's the finale for the season.
They usually did 24 episodes, so yeah, I'm thinking it's the end of season one.
Yeah.
Mama, can I walk home with GW? If you like?
We'll come with her.
No. Yeah, this is our subplot.
You will not.
Why not?
I'll explain that to you in a few years. In 2 years, you won't have to.
Like my legs suddenly don't have any strength in them. Sounds like you're fighting the grip.
Well, we'll get you home in a hurry.
So the grip is the flu, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. So
the grip.
The grip.
Don't you love all these names they had for illnesses and stuff before
they? Grip of death, right?
Yeah, before they became what we call them now. Who knows in 100 years what they'll call it? But yeah.
But influenza, I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, everything was. You know,
they just shortened it to the flu.
Yeah.
It's like influenza. Yeah. No, we don't need to get there. What if they called it Enza?
Enza. I got the ends.
I got the Enzas.
Yeah, you know, it's like, what do you got? I got the ends. I'm dying. So we have Mary Ellen and what's his name?
Oh, GW.
GW.
I know. I love their interaction.
I don't know where the snow came from, but there's a decent amount of it in this episode.
Yeah, well, there's still snow up in the, you know, up in them thar hills.
Yeah. So they're kind of just walking.
Go ahead and ask.
Promise you don't say no right off?
You want to borrow my baseball mitt?
Eighth grade's going to have a spring dance.
I know that.
Well, do you want to go with me?
No.
I asked you not to say no right off.
I can't dance.
Neither can I.
So what are we going to do, sit around and jump?
People can learn how to dance.
Not me.
Won't you think about it?
All right, but I'm not going to change my mind.
Typical Walton.
Oh, it's just completely Mary Ellen. And it's just so, even the music, it just lends itself to innocence, frolicking.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just so good.
Olivia is really not feeling well. They help her come in.
We're on our way home from church.
And we have the Baldwin sisters, visiting, yes, which is always nice.
I didn't see a church.
Oh, no, dear. Sister and I are members of the Episcopal congregation.
What I don't understand is I remember Olivia not liking them for so long.
Well, she didn't because of the recipe, but of course, as the character developed, she got less rigid in her religiosity.
But this is season one.
Well, I know, but she's always going to be polite, even if she doesn't,
Yeah.
Baldwins have always been of that persuasion. Papa was a deacon. Anyway, we were passing so close by, we just had to stop and pay our respect.
That was very thoughtful of you.
Somehow, the idea of going home to face another quiet Sunday was not appealing.
Children, take off your boots.
Come on now, before it gets cold.
I don't know. And then kick the Baldwin sisters to death. And that's what the Baldwins did. They killed the Baldwin sisters.
I'm so glad we stopped. I'll treasure the memory of you all in your Sunday best. It's such a treat.
Well, Liv, look, the ladies brought you along a little present.
Nothing very extravagant. Mamie's mint jelly. It's delicious with lamb.
Thank you.
Liv, are you all right?
No, she isn't. She's feeling poorly. Oh, dear. And
maybe she shouldn't be balancing on that armrest. Like, sit down properly.
Grandma giving them the evil eye like, that means it's time for you to get your little hoity-toity rumps up out the house and bye-bye, bye-bye.
Right.
Here we are, chattering away.
Well, what is it, honey?
Grandma says it's the grip.
Oh, sister, we must be going.
I'm sorry to spoil your visit, ladies.
Well, now, you take care of yourself, dear. Thank you for the tea and hospitality. Thank you, John.
You come back soon.
I'll see the ladies in the car.
Bathe your temples with lilac water, dear. There's nothing more soothing.
Thank you.
But the story is, she's just really not doing well. Like, it's getting worse and worse.
Right.
The kids are all talking.
Or so. Oh, I am, Jason. I am.
Showing corn is almost as fun as popping it.
Or eating it.
John Boy, do you know how to dance?
Some, yeah.
How much is some?
I don't know. I guess I know enough to keep from stumbling over a girl's feet once the music starts.
Who taught John Boy how to dance, you think?
Yeah, that's...
Maybe his dad?
I don't have a clue.
This would have been...
who taught John Boy how to dance? His mom and dad that were ballet dancers in New York and had their own ballet company?
Exactly. So she wants to go, and, it's sweet. Let's see. So Grandma comes out, grabs John Boy. This is how we know things are starting to, get a little bit more serious.
Your daddy wants you to fetch Doc Vance right away.
Mama worse?
Will you just tell him that she's talking out of her head and that she can't seem to move her legs?
So, it's pretty... crazy.
Yeah, that's ominous. She's talking out of her head. Ooh, and can't move her leg. Ugh.
Sounds like a fever type of situation. So
very scary.
Yeah, so the doc comes. And it's serious because that crazy violin music.
Right.
A lot of scenes that are really dragged out in this episode. This could have been a single episode. I don't know why it was an hour and 40. All right, so it's pretty visual, actually. I didn't even need to play that. So all the kids are kind of like, what's up? Because you can't hide the doc coming over.
Daddy come down and tell us about Mama.
I don't know what the doctor could be doing up there all this time.
Excuse me, John Boy. Don't you worry none about Doc Vance. He's one sawbones that really knows his business.
John Boy, could you possibly see how Mama is?
I don't want to keep pestering Daddy about it.
I do believe it'd be a satisfaction to have some good news to help us pass the evening.
All right.
So he goes in, and he gets the good news.
John Boy, your mama's very sick.
Does the doctor know what it is?
Yes, it's polio.
Polio.
Infantile paralysis.
So we know, I think most people know what polio is.
Yes.
And actually, when I worked at Scholastic, I worked with a woman who had polio when she was little.
Really?
And one of her arms was a good 4 inches shorter because of it.
Oh, my goodness. But I didn't realize it could manifest like that.
Well, I think that it messes with so much that your development is so, like, impeded. So when you go to, you know, it's, when you're over it, you know, you survive it. You're just not going to develop correctly. And
right. Yeah, it's weird the way the body does that. This is totally an aside, but when you talk about arms being shorter, when I was, I don't know, maybe 14, I was riding my bicycle and I ran through some scummy water and my tires, I guess I didn't have any tread on them, slipped. And it wasn't like a big accident. I mean, I literally just kind of went plop. But I hit something just right, and after I went to the emergency, I couldn't – well, let me back up a little bit. I couldn't walk.
Oh, when my God.
I had to crawl across the street to the neighbor's house and because it hurt too much to walk, and I went to the emergency room, and the doctor – I don't know what the medical term of it, but he just called it that I had broken my growth bone, whatever that is. And it's just lucky that I had already reached my full height as an adult, even though I was only 15, I guess, because that's what he said. He said, with that bone being broken, I would have ended up with one leg shorter than the other if I would have continued to grow. Yeah.
And how long did it take to recover?
Oh, gosh. I was in eighth grade. And I remember it so vividly because it took 4 months. I was homeschooled for 4 months, and I had a cast on my leg, and it was awesome because I got to stay home, and I had there was a homebound teacher that came to my house, you know, four days a week and taught me. The biggest bummer about it was that even though, of course, I was doing excellent in my studies because I had one-on-one attention, but the laws at the time were that they could not give you regular grades. I ended up just getting an E or an I or
like
something
on my
pass
or fail type thing.
Yeah, so, you know, whatever I have a hard time believing in medical books it says the growth bone. I would think there's a real name for whatever bone that was.
Right,
but, yeah, I had broken it. So, yeah, I would have ended up limping if I had grown anymore. But, like I said, fortunately, I'd reached my full height.
Wow, that's a really crazy story.
Yeah, but it always happened that way because my mother, unfortunately, was in and out of the hospital quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Every time my mother went to the hospital, something happened with one of us kids. Twice it was me. I slammed my fingers in the car door and had to go to the emergency room.
Geez.
And then the growth bone thing. And then one time my brother, they were building new construction behind our house. And my brother just decides that he's going to jump from the second story of the frame of this house. And what does he jump on? A board with a nail in it. Went right through his tennis shoe.
What could go wrong, right?
Yeah, every time, I guess because somebody wasn't watching us as closely when my mother was there, when it was just my dad, you know, we were off to our own devices and would
like
always do something goofy.
Sounds like a Walton's episode, actually.
Exactly. It does.
Jeez.
Slam a finger in the green truck.
Oh, jeez. So we have... yeah, I can see that happening to Jason and saying, like, I'll never play guitar again. Let's see. The doctor is going to speak to John Sr. A little bit on the side.
I'm going to have to tell her, Doc.
I know, John, I know. But let's let her have a few more hours.
Basically, they're talking about the fact that she may never walk again. Because she has no feeling of her legs.
Right.
And she can't even sit up at this point.
How bad is it?
Well, there's considerable nerve damage. The paralysis seems to move down the lower spine into both legs.
Could it be her growth bone?
Right.
He
sounds
says.
Like she had an epidural.
Right. That's kind of it, right? I mean, it's almost, it sounds like
It reminds me of the episode of Roseanne where Jackie's in labor and she sticks the fork in her leg. I'm not in any pain. I had an epidural and she's poking her leg with a fork.
Jesus. That's terrible.
Will it pass?
I don't know. It That's the hellish thing about polio. We just don't know. A day or two, if the feeling doesn't come back, I'll have to put on splints.
Splints?
Well, the theory goes...
A lot of repeating in this episode, by the way.
...goes that the affected muscles are weak. Now, that being the case, the other healthy ones like to pull the weak ones out of shape, cause crippling.
Crippling? I'm surprised. They really do repeat a lot in this episode.
That's such a crazy, you know, I mean, I know medicine has come a long way since then, but even in theory, hearing him say that, I'm sure at the time, that's, I'm sure somebody that wrote the script researched that, and I'm sure that's what they genuinely believe. But when I hear the word, the muscles are weak, it's like, oh, hello, so don't we need to strengthen the muscles instead of having them in wooden boxes doing nothing? I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. As a non-medical person, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I agree with you. I mean, I also know nothing about the polio vaccine. When was the polio vaccine given? I'm trying to just look this up really quick.
Okay, I'm old, but I'm not that old. I don't know.
It was available since 1955.
Okay. Well, that's only 7 years before I was born. Yeah. So,
but you—I mean, when you were born, just like I was born, we got the polio vaccine. I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
And back in the good old days when vaccines, you know, were one shot ponies.
Was that the one where they gave you the drops in the mouth, or is that the one that leaves the little round circle on everybody?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, but I remember, I know if somebody has immigrated here, like in the 80s or 90s, that, yeah, they have that scar, right?
Right,
but I
think
that's smallpox. And the other one is the sugar cube.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I'm not 100% sure which is which. But I think the sugar cube and the grouping of shots in your arm are both smallpox. I don't know about polio.
Well, I know that there's one shot that's the MMR, which is for measles, mumps, and rubella, and those all three are together in one shot. I still remember that. I mean, my gosh, my kids are in their 30s and their 40s. It's been a minute since we've had to do the immunization thing, and certainly been more than a minute for me, but I remember the MMR shot.
Yeah, measles, mumps, and rubella.
Right.
So in 1961, a liquid drop method was introduced called OPV, oral polio vaccine. That's probably what we all get now, you know.
Right.
Or they just throw it in the measles, mumps, rubella mix. Right. Squirt.
Exactly. It's a smorgasbord.
Yeah. Which, as much as you can take.
Well, I'll show it to her. You just keep quiet around the house now because your grandma's trying to have a little catnap.
Is grandma sick too?
No, she isn't, but she's wore out and helped take care of your mama all night.
I didn't know you could peel potatoes, Grandpa.
There's a lot of things about me that you don't know about. There are a lot of new things you're going to have to learn to do around here before your mama gets up and on her feet again.
Yeah, so the kids really do step up and do a lot of good stuff.
They do.
John is checking in on Olivia. I mean, it's a lot of the same stuff. We see a lot of really sad moments of Olivia being scared that she's never going to walk again. I think this is where John actually tells her that. Wait.
My legs. I can't move my legs. I can touch them, but it's like they belong to somebody else. Polio. That's what it is, polio.
So, yeah, she figures it out on her own because Olivia is the smartest person in the house.
There you go.
Next to Grandma, who thinks she is.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know what, and this is such a silly thing, but it's like, I understand in the beginning she's still in pain and whatever, but after she starts getting with the, you know, program and trying to get herself better and she's more physically doing it, it's like, why can't John sleep with her? You know, I mean, I know that's such a silly thing, but it's like, okay, yeah, she still has polio, but we know she's, you know, when they were thinking that it was contagious and blah, 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 blah. But it's like after a minute when she starts sitting herself up and all that, it's like, how come John can't be in the bed with her? I don't get it.
Well, he's a kind of a germ phobe, maybe, because if you notice, he barely touches her.
I don't mean why can't they be making whoopee.
No. But
he would be a comfort to her, him sleeping there next to her at night.
No, it's a good point, because even we do get that one scene where all the kids are kind of hanging out with John Boy, because they don't want to be, nobody wants to be alone. And it's one of these sad things. We have Jack Tripper come by and visit.
Right.
The money.
I was assured the cost was minimal.
Oh, here.
I'm here as an emissary from the Ladies' Aid Society, and they asked me to present this to you as a token of their affection.
My goodness, such a large packet.
Do you want me to open it for you, Libby?
Thank you, Grandma.
I'd be like, I hope it's cake.
Right. Great big old nice cake.
Yeah.
Nice of everybody.
Like a cookie puss cake from Carvel, maybe. That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do hope they haven't gone and spent a pile of money.
I was assured the cost was minimal.
That's a relief. It's a cheap gift.
Right.
Would you look at this?
I do vow.
What? It's a signature quilt.
I've never seen one before.
Get well soon, Evelyn. Courage from Alma, good old Alma. Best wishes from Sir B.
They've been working on that ever since you were stricken.
Thinking of you, Merle. Oh, Grandma, put it over me.
So it's very sweet. I think it's very sweet.
Well, and I think what's wonderful about it is that, I mean, come on. We all know hand-making quilts takes a minute. It's a very interesting way for them to go. This much time has passed, so she's been on her back.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it's...
God's blessing be on you, ma'am.
Thank you.
I'll see him out.
So...
Good old Jack Tripper. I'm just so sorry that he's no longer on the planet. I just loved John him and everything he did.
Yes. I really like him. I think John Ritter was such a good actor. A lot of fun. And I had a chance to work with him. So that's pretty fun, too. He voiced a cartoon that I worked on.
Oh, okay.
He was Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Yeah, I just loved him. I always remember his performance in the Mary Tyler Moore Show, being the preacher that married Ted and Georgette in the tennis outfit. He was hilarious.
He's such a diverse actor, and so much, I would have liked to see where his career would have gone. But
yes.
Sadly, it was in too short.
I know.
John Boy comes into the room.
Go back to bed.
Can't we stay, John Boy?
No, you can't.
Just a little while, please. I promise not to suck my thumb.
Hey, what's going on here?
We're getting into your bed.
No, you're not. You got beds of your own.
So have they.
All right. Let's just get one thing straight. This is special. This is not a regular arrangement.
John Boy?
Hmm?
You've seen Mama, haven't you?
Only from the door.
Does she look very different?
No, of course she doesn't, Aaron. Put a thing like that into your head.
Sometimes John Boy doesn't remember, I think, the age difference between him and the others, I think.
Yeah, he doesn't. But what I love about this particular scene is that, I mean, this family has been hit with a tragedy. And instead of John Boy being all saccharine sweet and whatever, it's like, regardless, I still want my privacy. I mean, he's not rude. There's a slight edge to his voice. He's not really irritated, but you understand what I mean. It's like he could have been, okay, kids, yeah, y'all can just move into my room until mom's polio is gone. He's still being the oldest of the family. He's still... resenting the intrusion on his privacy. He's still trying to write. I just love that they keep him, even though eventually he gives in. But know what I'm saying. It's like, I just thought that was very wise for them to keep him still a little perturbed that these little rugrats are, invading his space.
The doctor is putting the boards and the braces on her, which really bothers me. I don't know. I get very uncomfortable with these scenes.
Oh, just wooden boxes. It's horrible.
Yeah, it just seems so archaic. I don't know.
Yeah, just unproductive and, like I said before, not making any sense to me.
Go get him. You're right here.
myself out, John.
All right, children, you can see your mama now.
So this is a sweet scene, I think, that... So they all come in.
This is my medicine.
This got me all teary-eyed, because imagine not being able to see your kids, you know, and they're right behind the wall, you know?
Yeah, and we know some time has gone by.
Mary Ellen.
So the only one who didn't show up is Aaron, who's really struggling here. So John Boy does what John Boy does best. He goes and tries to talk her down.
I don't want to see Mama sick. Like a different person.
Aaron.
John Boy, I don't want Mama to change.
Aaron, quiet now. Hush, honey.
Now, Aaron can sometimes be a very wooden character. But I think she does really well in this. I don't know. Like, I think that her acting is pretty good here.
It is good. And I don't know what's wrong with me, but she gets on my last nerve. It's just like the episode with the fawn. It's mm-hmm. just, oh, you are just such a whiny brat. I mean, come on. It's like the poor child's mother's got polio, but she gets on my, it's just like, you're not going to walk in her bedroom and she's got horns on her head. Just stop.
Aaron, why don't you shut the hell up?
Aaron, you listen to me. The important things about your mama haven't changed. They never could. The way she feels about you and me.
And I want to try to get Mary on the show. I've had a lot of email back and forth with her. I know her health is not exactly great right now, but I'm working on it.
Okay. Maybe now she can't walk, but she's the same person and she wants to see you.
She was actually going to come on with Melissa Sue Anderson.
Oh, really?
And okay. We were going to review the movie they did together with them on it.
Oh, wow.
But I just couldn't get the schedules to work, unfortunately. But, you know, hey, I was happy to get Melissa Sue Anderson on our own. But
yeah.
But now that I got her, I can move on to the next.
There you go.
And that's you, Mary. If you're listening.
I'm ashamed.
Aaron, you've got no reason to be ashamed. It's a very natural thing to want the people you love to stay the same.
I think what she's going through is a genuine thing, right? You feel kind of like bad and you're scared because you think so much has changed.
Right.
And this really got me teared up because she goes up there and she sees it's just the same old mama. She's in bed. And I was like, oh, this is. And then Elizabeth, of course, is like, I'm the little one. I'm the cute one. Why are you stealing my thunder?
Here's your stray lamb.
Aaron.
Wouldn't it have been nicer to put the radio in the bedroom so she can listen? Right?
Yeah.
I would have. So she can listen to some tunes, listen to the news. Right. Maybe. I mean, her arms work. She could be writing, you know.
Exactly.
Mama.
Oh, I mean, she makes a dress, you know. Why couldn't she?
Art.
Look how little James Robert is.
Oh, I know.
So little. You know who didn't change at all is Ben. Ben looks the same here than he does in the final season.
I know. He always looks the same.
Good. I like him. I like his character. I like the actor. So it's a sweet thing. And we see the music kind of becoming another forefront moment. Ben approaches Mom and he's like, I want to be a salesman.
Right.
We get this shot of Jason who's playing guitar. And we know that he's a real guitarist and he's really... performing those songs.
I know, and that's what I always wonder, and you and I may have even talked about it before, and I, in my old brain, I don't remember. But I don't believe from the programs that I've seen with Earl Hamner's real family that any of his brothers were musically inclined. Really? Yeah. I'm thinking that they put that into the character or that evolved although he was musical in the original movie as well. He wanted a harmonica for Christmas. So I'm wondering if they stylized that around John's talent and wrote that character to, because I don't think any of Earl's brothers was really into music like that, if I recall.
Well, if I'm going to attack the characters a little bit, the truth is that Jason would not actually become a professional musician, you know? And right. This is something I brought up in the interview with John, is I always felt as though it was one of the sadder aspects. And I always take a lot of pride when an actor says, huh, I never really thought about that. And that's what John said. I pointed out that Jason, you know, spent all this time in school, you know, for music, and he did this thing, and he gave up his dream. I mean, he didn't give it. He went to war, and when he returned, he needed to make a living. So he bought a pub, and that's what he became. So
the new drop-in owner.
He gave up his life dream to, you know, to go to work and own a pub. And, you know, to me, you know, that's a story that happens very often to all of us. You know, there's always things that we wanted to do and we put so much work into it and it just doesn't come to fruition. And he didn't. You know, he did not become that musician. And, you know, if we're going to guess, you know, in the continuation of the entire story, he would not become a musician. I never saw the Waltons movies. I did not venture into them. So I don't really know where the story takes us. I really should kind of add that to my list.
Oh, yeah, because Jason's character ends up selling a song to Elvis Presley in one of those movies.
Yeah, I wouldn't like that.
I know. But I'm just saying, so he is still into music in the movies.
Right. I look at the TV show as the canon. Like, that is what happened. The movies, yes. I mean, if there's one thing we learn from all the Star Wars movies and everything, is you can't just rewrite history.
Right. No, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Every time I watch those, the joy of watching those for me is kind of seeing a continuance of the characters. The continuance of the characters is, you know, the stories are very strong, but it's, to me, it's more of all the original people, the joy of getting to see all of the original people again.
I agree.
Because the stories are totally crazy. It's like, you know, Mama is now a school teacher and Erin is the principal of the school she works in. Right. Half of Mary Ellen's kids are gone. Right. It's nuts.
Yeah, like Jim Bob's on morphine, fell into the wrong show.
It's like, why? It's like, why couldn't they have him got married? It's just kind of, you know, he just kind of is still alone in all these movies, never coupled up. And it's just, yeah.
So John Boy shows up in his cute self. It is like, you know, with his scarf. And he goes into, you know what? I don't know where the school is. But he goes into the school. He wants to go he wants to pick up college pamphlets. So
and Mama can plan.
Which I think is so sweet. I'm like, you know what? That's really awesome. And while he's there, well, I'll just play the scene.
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
You're new.
Well, I'm not really here. I mean, I'm not here yet. I'm here, but I just want to talk.
About what?
Oh, how you register and how much everything costs and what courses you have and everything.
If you gotta ask, you can't afford it.
Right, pretty much.
Well, most everything's in this brochure. Fees, tuition costs, schedule of classes, and an entrance application. Will you be applying this fall?
Well, no, this is sort of long-range planning. Also, could you direct me to the School of Medicine?
I would have thought that you were more the arts and humanities type.
I do believe she is flirting with him.
I believe she is, too, but he looks so jaunty with his little scarf.
Well, you're right. I am interested in a career in journalism, but my mother's sick, and I was wondering if there was someone I could talk to.
So she's, like, sick. You're, like, catchy, you know?
Right.
But so he goes and meets with this professor who's really fascinating guy. I love this actor. I mean, I don't know the actor. I like his portrayal of this character.
Yes, I do too.
And he talks about, in Australia, there's this woman, Sister Kenny.
Sister Kenny.
And in, I did a quick little background thing. In 1932, Sister Kenny established a backyard clinic in Townsville to treat long-term polio victims and cerebral palsy patients with hot baths, foments, passive movements, and discarding of braces and calipers to encourage the active movements.
Yes.
Just as though, like what you and I are saying, which is kind of like a common sense
thing. Yes. Common sense. Complete common sense.
Yeah. Let's see. At a government-sponsored demonstration in Brisbane, doctors and masseurs ridiculed her. Can you imagine being ridiculed by masseurs?
Wow.
Mainly because they considered her explanations of the lesions at the site of the paralysis were bizarre. Anyway, this ended up being towards, you know, helping people actually regain control of their limbs, which all in all is a very miraculous thing, isn't it? You know, it's... So let's see.
And that's interesting. You said there was something about lesions. It's like, hello, it's probably bed sores from having people lay around doing nothing and staying in the same position all the time.
100%.
Right.
Olivia has worked really hard. She's sitting up. Kids are now, you know, basically, John Boy mentions that her bedroom becomes basically the epicenter of the entire home. Everybody's surrounding their mother, you know, like we're doing the whole thing. We get this cute scene where John Boy is going to teach Mary Ellen a few steps. They should have gotten rid of all the kids for this, but
right,
that wouldn't be fun to watch for us.
The tortoise and the hare.
Yeah.
Imagine this is the only music you have in your life. I don't know. Right. It would drive me nuts to just have harmonica music.
Right, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Not too fast.
Mary Ellen, what are you doing? Mary Ellen, wait, you're leading me. Remember what I told you? You're the girl and I'm the boy.
She forgot.
Let's do it, Marcus. That's cute. Mary Ellen's hair, so light. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And I often wondered as they got older because... She's talked about before on YouTube when they were making the movie, and I guess she was only 13 at the time or something, and so little girl, but she was really crushing on Richard Thomas and she fully admits that when they were making the movie. But you know, the older he got, the cuter he got, and of course the older she got, the more beautiful she got, and there was never any romance or anything that I've heard of. But you know what I'm saying, it's just like how awkward, you know, to have that diehard crush on him when all of this first started.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe it just went away, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, all it takes is him saying one, like, obnoxious thing, right?
Right. True.
Makes all crushes go away.
Yes.
Let's see. We have Jason, who wants to try out for a talent contest. So he goes with John Boy. I thought that this was a little bit of a weird sub thing. They kind of go into this place, and we get this character who's kind of the auditioner. And I think he's eating ribs. Is he eating ribs?
Right. I'm his advance man, Snyder. Well, what's your specialty? Tap dance, juggle, imitate Laurel and Hardy?
I love this guy.
What are you? Tap dance, juggle. Come on. Hand me that barbecue sauce.
No, not me. My brother plays the guitar and sings.
He should have shaken his hand. I think that would have been funny.
Right.
And then you have John Boy look at his hand kind of like covered in whatever grease. That would have been very funny, I thought.
Would have been.
Sensational.
Jason Walt.
Maybe it's funnier that the guy didn't even shake his hand. I don't know.
Well.
So let's see, there's a dollar audition fee, then he brings it down to 50 cents, and then they're about to leave. He's like, wait a minute. So, let's see. Ben is, oh, they did put the radio in with her. So the radio
did they? I didn't remember that.
Mm-hmm, my mistake. Ben is talking with her about how he made 10 cents or 15 cents selling newspapers and magazines. And, you know, Howie's doing well. The John Sr. and Elizabeth are outside. Who else is there? Oh, and Jim Bob. And they're planting crocus bulbs. And I'm going to be planting bulbs in the next week or so. I've never planted bulbs. But my house came with tulips already planted. And every year come up. And they come up now. And I'm like, you know what? Every year I want to plant bulbs. So I went and I bought a crap load of them. And I'm really hoping that I can plant them and they can return every year. I think that's really, really cool.
Oh, yeah. I have done that maybe once or twice. Mm-hmm. But, of course, you know, here in Houston, even though we still get a few nights with the 40s, I mean, spring is pretty much – I think it's too late to plant bulbs here in Texas.
Mm. Yeah, we still have it in – it's still pretty chilly here.
Yeah.
But their plan is to plant them now and to have them come up by Easter. So I'm going to say this is like 3 months, maybe 2 months.
Yeah, I was going to say that's another time check on, you know, how long this has been going on.
Let's see. You have John Sr. and Olivia hanging out and they see somebody pull up. It's the guy from the university, the professor.
The doctor.
And he comes and he goes and talks to her. And I'm going to play some of that. I like this guy a lot. For some reason, I'm going to believe that he actually has polio.
Well, I figure if I...
Or had, yes. You know, had
polio. I keep he exercising, did. I'll get more and more control, and...
That's certainly possible. I know you want more than possibilities. You want certainties and guarantees. Well, there are none with polio.
Well, as long as there's hope.
That's the spirit. Remember, we human beings are highly adaptable creatures. Now, there may come a time when you'll feel that you can't go on unless you know that you can get back to the person you were before this happened.
This guy has a hell of a voice.
Shut up. I was just thinking really? The exact That's, same thing.
His name is Don Collier, and he has over 200 movie and television credits.
Really?
He's worked with John Wayne, Robert Mitchum, Anthony Quinn, Dean Martin, Tom Selleck, and Elvis Presley.
Oh, my gosh.
This guy, he probably introduced... Jason to Elvis to sell that song.
Right.
He just passed away in 2021 at the age of 92.
Oh my goodness.
God bless him. He was in so many things. I'm just looking Gunsmoke. I'm looking here because was he in Little House? I mean, who knows? He was in 5 episodes of Bonanza.
Yeah, he just kind of looks like he could play. I mean, he very well looks like, you know, a doctor, but you can his face is kind of weather-worn, and, I mean, I can see him totally in a Western thing or, yeah.
He was in 2 episodes of Little House on the Prairie.
Shut up. Which episodes?
He was in The Runaway Caboose. He plays Schultz, who I'm not 100% sure. Maybe it's one of the engineers.
Okay.
And in For the Love of Blanche, he plays the sheriff.
Okay.
Unbelievable. Okay. Unbelievable.
Those are 2 episodes that I don't watch very often. That's why I didn't. I'm sorry. I can't do the Blanche thing. And the Caboose says, that's okay.
The truth is, the only thing missing from the Runaway Caboose is an orangutan. Right. And the only thing missing for the Love of Blanche is... them getting on a train at the end, you know, and I respect it.
Yeah. The orangutan is the one that pulled the pin on the caboose thing. Anyway,
you got it. Oh, that would be, that's it. They're playing. Yeah. Come on. That's awesome.
See, I should have been a scriptwriter.
Well, you know what? Michael Landon would have said, I like this idea because I feel as though Michael Landon, without a doubt, wanted, he's like, we have to make an episode with an animal before we end this show. I mean, they kind of did it here and there, but not like that, not like Blanche. So I'm going to challenge you in the next 6 months, Susan, please. I want you to watch The Runaway Caboose one more time.
Oh, okay.
It's not bad. It's not a bad episode. And you gotta like, I don't know if you drink at all.
No, but right, you want me to write a college thesis on the Runaway Caboose, maybe?
You know what? I want you to have a nice piece of chocolate cake then, and watch the Blanche episode.
Can I make it vanilla? I'm not a big chocolate cake eater.
No. No. You get an eclair. You get a cannoli.
A cannoli.
Or a piece of cheesecake or something. And you watch For the Love of Blanche. Because if you can watch it with no... Just watch it for what it is, which is just a ridiculous episode. It's so funny. It's such a funny episode.
True.
And you get so much Victor French in there. It's hilarious.
Yeah, true. Yeah, right.
All right. That's my challenge to you, Susan King. All right. So here we are. He's talking more with Olivia.
I'll have to settle for less than that.
Not for less, but maybe something different. I hope you don't have to face that, but if you do, I know you'll know how to handle it.
Thank you for coming to see me, Doctor.
I'm going to guess he did not have polio, by the way. I'm going to go back on my statement.
No, he did have polio.
In real life, I mean. The actor.
Oh, no. In real life, no. But in the episode, yeah, he and John Boy sit there in his office and talk about it. I know when he goes to start climbing those stairs to go see Olivia, I'm just like, how the hell's he going to do that?
Just slowly. I think he's flirting with Olivia a little bit. Well, everybody's flirting with Olivia, the art teacher, everyone.
Right.
Look at her. Yeah, she's gorgeous.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's gorgeous. Of course.
Good luck. And I'm looking forward to the day when you can come and see me.
See? It's a little flirty. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. He can't wink. See it, that but he winked. Wink, wink. Sounds like my floors. My house is 99 years old this year. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, that sounds like everywhere you walk. That's why I can hear the Roomba before. And it's like, what the hell?
That's hilarious.
But so he's basically like, I'm a polio survivor. And guess what? I might not be getting up like, you know, a football player, but or maybe a football player would get up slowly, you know, hopping up like, you know, a kid. But you know, it's pretty
life
good.
Life goes on.
I'm
life
traveling.
Goes on.
I'm here.
I've adapted.
Cute little scene. We're looking at Fred Astaire and what's her? Julia Rogers. I have no idea. In the photo of it's Fred Astaire and who did he dance with?
Ginger Rogers.
Yeah, it was Ginger Rogers. I said Julia Rogers.
Well, he danced with a lot of people, but Ginger was.
But I don't think there was a Julia Rogers.
Sid Charisse and a lot of other people, even Judy Garland. So he danced with a lot of different people.
Yeah.
But Ginger was the partner.
Yeah, the famous. That's the famous partner.
Yeah, and Rita Hayworth.
We have Mary Ellen and her boyfriend out in the forest, and they got to practice.
Oh, I love this scene.
It's very cute. It's
quintessential Mary Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
Closer. Okay, now relax. It's very...
That's what every girl... All right, not that close. Back it up. John Boy!
Simple. It's just 1, 2, 3, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Sorry.
1, 2, 3. 1, 2...
No one ever taught me how to dance, but I can dance. Like, I don't know. I never learned how to
properly slow dance, as we called it back in the day. People just hang on each other and sway back and forth, but I never learned how to.
2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1.
So she's good at counting. So let's see. We talk more with the doctor. The doctor is kind of a negative Nelly. You know, he's like really kind of like, well, I don't know. And I'm going to say, I don't know when Elizabeth has all the timber fall on her. You know, this guy, he's wrong about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he and Grandma both partner up in the negative Nelly corner. Yeah. And just kind of,
I'm going to get to the point where the Baldwin sisters. We got a cute little scene, though, with Jason playing guitar and Grandma's ironing. He's like, can you continue ironing? Because I was using you as kind of like a metronome in a way. So I thought that was cute. Pretty visual, though. And let's see.
The Ironing Board Blues.
Yeah, the Ironing Board Blues. Cute song. We'll hear it. We're checking on the crocuses, which are coming along nicely. The Baldwin sisters show up with a gift, and they're meeting with Liv.
Can we bring the president in now?
Oh, yes, please do.
So is this foreshadowing? Because Elizabeth comes in on the wheelchair.
We hope it might be useful.
Grandpa, who should know better, looks like a real dope pushing in that wheelchair. Telling
me.
It's one of the newest designs.
Mr. Godsey helped us arrange for.
Sister and I spoke with Dr. Vance.
And excuse my French, but I'd be like, what's this shit?
Right.
I don't know. Like, oh, that'll burn for a little while in the fireplace.
I mean, we know like that we know the Baldwin sisters meant well, but it's just like, oh.
You know what it is? It's a twist of reality being thrown in her face. Well,
it is, because, you know, in the real world, not in the hour and 45 minute TV fantasy stuff, it doesn't always turn out where we, you know, get our healing. Life, it does become a little bit different for a lot of folk.
Let's see, we have Mary Ellen ready for her big night. They actually made her dress.
I think what it's going to be like when you have music.
So, yeah, they do like a little dance, which is very sweet to watch. And
GW comes to pick her up.
Yeah. And he doesn't whistle this time. And she does the right thing. It's like, you know, when you come and pick me up tonight, don't whistle. Okay. He's like, all
right. Exactly. Right.
Now, why didn't they end up together?
You know, I don't know, because if you remember.
He dies, right? Don't they kill him off?
Well, yeah, but he and Aaron were together, he wanted to be with Aaron, and I guess Aaron joked a couple of times about, you know, having Mary Ellen's cast-offs, whether it be clothes or men. in one of the episodes, she really does, you know, say that. So I guess they just, I don't know, because we didn't see GW for a long time before he and Aaron kind of hooked up and then he died. But
Mary Ellen got around. No, well, Mary Ellen had some really bad luck. And yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff with Mary Ellen that I did not like what they did with the character.
Like what?
They hook her up with this guy after she finds out what happens with Kurt.
Remember that?
And that guy looks more like the original Kurt than the guy that they brought back as the fake Kurt, the turtle. But she kind of got really close with somebody at the end, and it just happened too quickly. And then it was like, I just didn't like where they took.
Are you talking about her and Jonesy?
I don't remember their names at this
point. Jonesy's the one that she married, and then they got in the car. She got in the car wreck. While they were on their honeymoon and she couldn't have kids anymore. Yeah, that's Jonesy.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like they tried a lot of stuff and it didn't work great with that character.
Yeah.
Towards the end, you know.
Well, I still wonder if the writers were listening to the fans going, we don't like Mary Ellen being married, and that's why they shipped him off to Hawaii, and that's why they killed him off. I mean, I don't know that. I find it hard to believe that writers would actually kowtow down to fans, you know. But I think it was kind of well known that people were like, hey, man, we're not cool with Mary Ellen being married to this older guy, and we don't like their chemistry, and blah, 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 blah.
I certainly didn't. I did not like Kurt at all. And I still don't understand the point of bringing him back.
Desperation for not having any closure for the character of Mary Ellen, and or desperation, or both, not having any plot. What the heck are we going to come up with this week, guys?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay, it was a totally wrong decision. We did not need to know that. I mean, because to me, all it did was, okay, well, this underscored my bad feeling about Kurt. I mean, yes, the wedding episode is fun in that it may be for females. I don't know if men would buy into any of that. But the magical chemistry thing is a fun element of that story to me. But once they're married, it's just kind of like, wah, wah, wah.
Yeah. Well, Mary Ellen comes home and she's happy and she comes up.
Well, how was it?
Well, at first it was terrible. I mean, it was worse than I expected. Everybody was just kind of standing around looking at everybody else. So GW and I got up and started to dance, and it wasn't so bad. And when it was time to go home, well, I just wished it would never end. In fact, three boys already asked me the next dance.
Well, how'd GW feel about that?
I love this so much. I just think it's really funny, and I love what Liv says back.
Right.
Well, he wanted me to promise not to go dancing with anybody but him.
Did you promise?
I told him I'd think about it.
That's my girl.
I don't have a daughter, but that's what I would be proud of. It's like that type of...
Yeah, we had the same thing in Little House with the Sweet 16 episode with, you know, with Laura going, I'll have to think about it, Manly.
Yeah, and Charles looks away smiling.
Yeah, kind of like those women's wiles.
Yeah.
And we realized...
So we're going to get, we're home from the contest, and I thought that this was a very, very sweet scene. I'm going to play some of it. And John swoops up, grabs her, brings her downstairs, Olivia, and they're going to perform in front of them, like their own version of the contest.
Yes.
So it's pretty visual, but I'm going to play Jason's song because I think it's pretty good and it's really performed by him, and he's a hell of a guitarist. He really is, and I really think people should look into all of his music and the music he did. You know, he toured with like Richard Marx in the 80s.
Yes.
You know, the guy is super, super talented. Even now he does live shows and it's like he goes up there and he's wailing. It's amazing. Great stuff.
I'd like to dedicate this song to my grandma who inspired it.
Well, it goes on. It's really a fun song, and they love it. This is
and
the
Jason
scene.
Wins.
Yeah, and Jason won a guitar.
Yes,
and he calls it a humdinger.
Right.
We have Grandma and John, John Boy helping Olivia walk a little bit, and this is the turning point for the episode. Thank goodness. Because she's failing. She's standing for like a second then falling, and she keeps falling, and she keeps trying, which I have to give her a lot of, you know, credit for that, because...
She keeps trying. Well, and we neglected to mention, of course, that after John meets with the professor at the college, they decide to put Sister Kenny's practices...
Yes, yes.
And they're, you know, boiling hot water and sticking those... Every time I see those cloths, it's just like, those look like they itch like crazy. Oof. It's just, they're just like heavy, wet, steaming hot wool, and so they're, you know, around the clock putting those things on her legs, and at some point I think grandma's had enough.
Yeah, she's really frustrated and she's very upset. John Boy gets in probably the most heated exchange that he's ever had with grandma for the entire series.
Yes.
I'll play just a little bit of it.
Okay.
Grandma, she's tired and disappointed. Tomorrow when she feels...
Tomorrow your mama's going to start using the wheelchair.
I don't see how you can say that. You should know as well as I do that she can't stop trying to walk. You and I were the ones that started this whole
she's
thing.
She's done her best, and we all have. Now it's just no use.
I don't believe that. There's strength in her legs, and I'm not going to let her give up.
John Boy, will you stop tormenting her and yourself? The only way your mama's going to get any peace of mind is to resign herself to God's will.
You think it's God's will that mama spend the rest of her life in a wheelchair or hobbling around on crutches?
So it seems.
Well, if that's your God, Grandma, I won't accept his will for mama or myself.
So that was Richard Thomas. You know, like, that's some song. That's like, whoa, where'd this acting come from? He's all of a sudden not stilted and, you know, really good. Really.
Yes. The kind of
performance you might even expect for him from the stage.
Yeah.
And I think that Ellen Corby did a beautiful, response to it. I thought that it was really just one of my favorite scenes of the entire series.
Oh, yeah.
But the
next one coming up is just like, woo.
The one where he's at the hill?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to play that. And it's beautifully done again. It's,
I guess in this world, you just can't count on anything, can you?
So John Sr. went after John Boy. And he's like, be careful at that edge, you could fall over.
Right.
I just don't believe that, John Boy.
Mama's given up. She's given up. Grandma says that's for the best. She says we have to accept that as God's will.
John Boy. I think maybe your grandma's right.
Oh, Daddy. All my life I've been preached to about this God of love and mercy watching over us. You just show me one thing that's loving and merciful about this.
I don't know that I can, son.
Of course you can. What kind of a God would do this?
You feel he hasn't kept up his part of the bargain, huh?
He hasn't.
Well, maybe that's because it's your bargain, not his. You know, I don't know much about this personal God that your mom and your grandma believe in, but I do know there's a power working in our lives. Protecting us, blessing us all these years, son, and we've accepted those blessings. Now it's time for us to accept the other.
That's you saying that? You're saying that to me? You? That's like lying down. That's like quitting. That's like looking up at the sky and saying, okay, Lord, it's all right with me if it's your will. I don't accept that, Daddy, and I don't see how you can accept that.
Now listen, son, it's not my way to lie down, let life kicked me in the face, and yet not your mama's way either. I mean, things you can change, you gotta try to change, but some things you can't change in life. And standing around shaking your fist at the sky's not gonna change him. It may make you feel better for a minute or two, but it doesn't change anything,
Daddy,
son.
Daddy, you listen to me. When I was a little boy, I worshipped you. I worshipped the ground you walked on, and I tried with all my heart to believe everything you told me, and I tried to be just like you. But right now we've come to a fork in the road, and I just don't believe one word you're saying to me.
John Boy, you're gonna have to find your own answer, son. But this much I do know. Good times and bad times come to all of us. And what counts, son, is the way you take them. What you let those times do to you.
So, I mean, it's a very long scene, but it's pretty tough.
But, yeah, it's so beautifully acted, and the words are so beautifully written, and I love Ralph's weight, Ralph Waite's controlled anger. You know that, at least in my opinion, when he's kind of saying words that he's gritting through his teeth, he's not mad at John Boy. He's mad at the circumstance. You know what I'm saying? It's just one of the acting moments for me of the whole series.
The hell of an actor. I mean, they're both just, you know, Richard Thomas, Ralph Waite, both really phenomenal actors.
I got to see him on stage as Atticus Finch. My daughter and I went to go see To Kill a Mockingbird months ago, and it was lovely. Just really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, he's gotten better with age.
Yes.
So we are kind of in the middle of an Olivia dream. We get these, like, kind of nature shots from the 70s.
Yes.
This is a tree, and this is a forest. And this. So she wakes up, and she's hearing Elizabeth seek help. And if you look closely, she mutters under her breath, like, shut up. I'm just kidding. Just shut up.
I'm starting to sleep.
So she gets up to help without thinking. And then she wakes up.
Vivi.
And she's standing.
She's on her feet.
I heard Elizabeth call.
And they're like, what the hell just happened?
I just have to go to work.
So they all come in. They're like, what?
I'm all right. I'm all right.
So they're all, she sees the flowers are coming up, the crocuses.
Yes.
I can walk as well as any 1 year old in the county.
I just may take you dancing when you grow up.
So, of course, this is where I was tearing up. I'm like, oh, this is too sweet.
I know. I was like, girl, you need to sit back down on that bed, because when that gang all comes rushing at you, it's like, y'all going to knock y'all mama on her butt again if she ain't sitting down. It's like, rah!
And she's like, I should be able to walk by Easter. And I don't know. We still don't have a timeline, right? But, yep. You know, it looks as though she did make it to. It's a pretty visual thing, but I'm going to play it.
Love's redeeming work is done. Hallelujah.
And we get a voice of. Well, actually, I think we get a John Ritter. And,
My mother did go to the sunrise service that Easter morning, and there was a special joy in all our hearts as she stood leaning on my father's arm, facing into the first glorious rays of the sun, which rolled back the darkness and warmed the awakening world to new life and hope. Many Easters have passed since then. Other springs have been slow to come, but inevitably winter has yielded to spring. The years have brought the full quota of blessings and trials, joys and heartaches. The same old questions recur. Why my child? Why my wife? Why me? Why? And the search for answers has been taken up by new generations of grandchildren. But it's still reassuring for me to catch the echo of those dear, familiar voices on that Easter long, long ago.
So that's almost how it ends. We still have the mama, you know, but I thought that was a really sweet ending. She's holding on to John and she's made it.
Oh, yeah. It's just
awesome.
Give me chill. I've been sitting here. I mean, how many times? I've seen this episode probably at least, I don't know, 50 or more times since it originally aired. And especially, you know, doing it and really it really being separated from me, since I'm not watching it just to hear the audio in my ear and really hone in and focus on it. It's just... Yeah, and I'm not saying television writing is bad now. I really don't watch a lot of episodic television anymore. But, man, this particular episode, it's just, I didn't research to see. I know that the Waltons won a lot of Emmys, and I don't know if they ever won any for writing. If they didn't, they certainly should have.
Well, I think it's all one amazing package, and I think it's really sweet, and I think this is an excellent Easter episode, even though I think it was after Easter. I'd have to look that up, but this is how the whole episode ends, with Elizabeth asking a question.
Mama?
Yes, Elizabeth?
Which crocuses do you like the best? Blue, or the yellow, or the white?
They're all so lovely, I like them all equally.
Same as us children?
That's right.
Night, Mama.
Night, Elizabeth.
So that's it. That's our Easter episode.
So wonderful to share that. That with you today.
Yeah, that was really good.
Just an amazing episode.
But Susan, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out of your day today. I hope that you'll come on again to review another or even a Little House in the future.
Absolutely. You know, I'm always wanting to chat it up, whether Walton's or Little House. Yeah. I just always love to get together with you and just chat about the awesomeness of those two shows.
Same here. But yeah, again, thank you so much. Have a happy Easter to you and your family.
I will do that, and your holiday celebrations as well.
Thank you.